sounds, yeah. Thank you. So let's summarize what we've accomplished thus far this morning. So in the broad, it seemed that there was a lot of energy in having a broad discussion on not just why we had a low response to the call for measures, but on some larger issues as well. So we spent a good amount of time gathering very important observations and feedback regarding not just the call for measures, but a possible role for NQF in moving forward with not just clinical measures, but public and population measures, and the need for some consistent standardization in that area. And it seems like this is really a point in time where the health field has evolved to where you're looking at putting some more rigorous and standardized measures and bringing that out into the population or public healthcare forum. What seemed to me in listening to the discussion was that three categories seem to emerge around your conversation. One category was simply, why was the response low? What were the determining factors in those responses so low? Okay, and I've identified some of the and captured some of the comments under number one for that. Okay. The second category of broad comments seemed to be, what are some future steps or needs that NQF, perhaps this group, might want to look at? Not that there are decision points there. Some of those possible future steps are small. Some of them might be larger and broader in scope. Okay. And then the third category of comments seem to be around the measures themselves. Okay, and I've captured those under category number three. Someone asked, obviously my chicken scratch is exactly that. Chicken scratch, hard to understand. I've tried to post things in terms of category one, category two, category three. Okay. However, one of the outcomes of this meeting is that each of you will get not just the meeting minutes, but the lists of the comments and suggestions in each of those categories so that we don't lose them. Okay. What we thought it might be good to do now in the remaining 45 minutes or so is to bring the conversation down to a more concrete level, given all of the excellent input and discussion we've had up to this point. So what we'd like to do is a fish diagram. I don't know if some of you, fish bone diagram, some of you may have used that format in the past, regarding bringing it to the original purpose for the morning, which is we want to frame it in a more positive way, not why, you know, was the response so low, but assuming that we are going to reissue this call for measures, what should we, would we do differently? Okay. So let's keep it on a more positive frame of mind. So here's our assumption that we will reissue this call for measures. What would we do differently? Some of you have come up earlier this morning with some categories or areas around what you might do different, and that's fine. If you want to identify categories, I think we can kind of brainstorm some of these. And if I'm not clear on what the connections are, you can certainly correct me so that they're reflected appropriately on the fishbone diagram. And then that might lead us just very naturally into a conversation, which you'll see next on the agenda, the working lunch, regarding measures. So, assuming we are going to reissue this call for measures, what would we do differently? What do you think? I'm sorry, I can't see the name tags being flipped up. I apologize when I'm over there. Matt?
Okay, I was just waiting for permission.
Oh, okay. Right. Oh, maybe okay. We can do the hand raise thing because it's easier to see from up there.
Well, I think I might challenge your premise.
Okay.
If we were to do another call for measures, mm-hmm. what would we do differently? Maybe take out the front part of that is what would we do differently? Because
yes.
Because I think part of the problem was in relying on luck of the draw about whoever happened to submit measures, mm-hmm. and it turned out there was a handful of clinical improvement measures that we got. So it seems like we shouldn't rely, at least at the front end, on a call for measures. But instead, Helen and I were talking a little bit on the break about doing an exercise of finding, going out now and finding all of the sources and pick a subset. You know, pick behaviors is my suggestion. But find all of the, do an analysis of all of the public health measures for those health behaviors, all of the measures used within the clinical care delivery system, and they are in HEDIS and other sources, and do a kind of harmonization exercise, and maybe even, I don't know if it's a white paper or whatever, but come up with some recommendations, and then from that perhaps go and solicit and maybe that's the call for measures part, but you'd be soliciting to particular developers, say, here's our framework, this is, we would like you to submit a measure in this area. The second part is, Jason and I were talking at the break also about, there are a lot of population or potential population health measures currently in the NCQA and NQF portfolios. They're just not labeled population health measures. But it would be an interesting exercise just to assemble all of those into a compendium or collection of potential population health measures. And again, start from there to do a more informed targeting. And maybe it's a different type of call that's done for measures when that groundwork's done.
Okay, so what I have here is this bone, if you will, of identifying sources, recommendations, and basically solicit targeted developers rather than just sort of throwing it out there to anyone and everyone. So one might be to solicit targeted developers, and then the other is to survey population health measures that are already out there and compile them in some sort of a list so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Before solicitation, though, I think that's an important piece of it. That's the analysis of the existing measures that are already out there and where there are similarities and differences. So that's an important analytic piece that I think could be done now and would be valuable.
And help me, am I not capturing that properly here? Identify resources, recommendations, and solicit in order to solicit targeted developers, and then survey population health measures and compile them. Is the second step analysis of that?
The first step is to kind of assess the state of measurement in targeted domains.
Just want the committee to be aware that actually as part of the discussion for this afternoon that this is bleeding into, the staff did look through the existing portfolio and have identified the quote population health measures, and so that is available, and you know we can tee that up for everyone to take a look at.
Good. What else should show up on that fishbone diagram? Yes.
I'd like to offer a few broader categories and then some specifics underneath at least one of them.
Okay.
I think we need to refine the guidance that's provided to those who we wish to submit measures. We need to reduce the burden for those who wish to submit measures. And we need to demonstrate the value to those who we wish to submit measures. Under refined guidance.
I'm sorry, one thing, Ron. So
yes.
Refine guidance. Reduce the burden for those developers.
And demonstrate value.
Demonstrate value.
Mm-hmm. Under the guidance, I'd like to suggest that the worksheet be reworked to incorporate the specific population health measure language that we came up with during one of our earlier meetings. Well, the language that's on the event, what are these called?
Criteria.
The criteria, right. That it actually used the language versus the healthcare language. Second, that to the extent feasible, we provide some examples of completed worksheets to help people see the types of information that's desired. And then third, I think a couple of folks mentioned about education, you know, webinars, whatever it might take to help engage people in a dialogue to help build some understanding. The last piece I'll mention has to do with the burden.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the burden was the time frame, not just the time it took, but how much time people had that they could devote to this within, you know, to get the measures submitted. And so I think
deadline for responding.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So I think increasing the time frame
mm-hmm.
for responding fits under that. And I'll stop.
Okay. So what I've added up here is refine our guidance. That's something we can do differently whenever we issue a call. Let's put it that way. We can revise the worksheet to, you know, use the recommended language that's indicated, provide examples for our developers, and provide some sort of training or education for developers to allow them to have a more informed dialogue on this and see what the value might be of participating. The other thing you said was to reduce the burden for our developers, and one way to do that is to increase the time that they have to meet the deadline to respond. And then the other thing that you said was we need some way to demonstrate the value, and it's the value of the value to our developers of responding. Okay.
I'd like to develop that a little bit further. I mean, I don't think it's so much demonstrating it. I think we have to be clear what it is. I don't think that we know what the value proposition really is here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of evolved over time for the healthcare world and in QF, but
mm-hmm.
but in the population health world, I mean, it seems to me we have to begin by thinking about what are the potential users and uses of these measures. And the ones that have been on the table are the IRS community benefits, the accreditation standards, the accountable care organizations, and things like that. And that I think that if we thought through what are the potential uses, and I'm sure there are more than those, the IHI triple aim is the other one that we put in there, that would lead to a more clearer thinking about what is the potential value of having NHQ, what do we do?
NQF.
NQF endorsement. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Right.
NQF endorsement.
Right.
I mean, it seems to me that there are two possible values to that. One is the harmonization that comes from that process, and the other one is the sense that these are good measures. I think that those things may play out differently in public health than in the healthcare world, population health.
Okay, so let me just tell you what I've captured. So not only do we want to demonstrate the value, but we need to actually create what that value proposition is or articulate it. And then we can demonstrate it or communicate it or try to engage people in getting on board with what that value proposition is. And you put forth two pieces of...
And I guess what I would say is that in order to do that, we have to consider what are the potential uses and users of NQF endorsed population health measures.
Okay, including uses and users, potential. All right. Very good. Very good. I know someone over here. Yes.
And I think that value proposition to public health is with harmonized data available from the healthcare delivery system, it would dramatically improve the public health surveillance system that relies currently on these small, dwindling random sample surveys. And I'm not sure if that message is clearly made or understood. But it seems potentially enormously valuable.
I don't think public health has any idea about it.
So the let me put this in some sort of kind of an equation. So you said harmonized standards from your healthcare delivery systems. Results in improved, you said surveillance of public health. Is that the best word?
I would say assessment. That's one of the three core public health functions. That includes all this stuff.
Okay.
Because it's a much richer data source.
Okay. So that's one possible value equation. There might be others that you choose to use as well. I want to ask some folks who have not put forth some ideas. I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to participate.
So there's two things I want to say. One is Helen mentioned this two-step process, perhaps, and maybe this would be an excellent place to start, to basically say, have a phase of this where you could put forth a concept. Is this what you're thinking of? Is this what you're talking about? And then to sort of work that through so people can then decide whether or not it's something that they should go back and work on, or perhaps it gets referred into another group within NQF. I think it could be very helpful since people don't quite know what we're asking for, and sometimes I think we don't quite know what we're asking for based on what we've put out. And then The other thing I think we should build out, I don't really think this is just a matter of educating people, and I mean education and training are components to it, but I think we have to have a much more interactive process to support the learning and development in this area. So I think it would be very interesting. I mean, we heard basically we don't have the time, we don't have the resources to do this. That's a problem. So how do we support that? And part of that could be to look for seed funding to help certain developers develop these measures if there is no other funding out there. But part of that also is to create some kind of community of learning where there, whether that's through periodic calls or SharePoint sites or something, where we could bring together people in the field to ask questions about, well, here's the direction we're going in, what do you think?
Right.
And other developers and other people in this area could say, well, what, have you considered this, have you considered that, we tried that, it didn't work, whatever. So to create a much more active learning community, because it sounds like we have to do a lot of development here.
A community of practice is how I've heard that referred to.
And actually, building on that, I was actually going to say something similar. One of the things that really struck me as well is I think there's a real opportunity as well to work with the measure developers who understand how to do this and know NQF in a different way. So, for example, I was struck by the measures you talked about yesterday about physical activity. Granted, they were inside the box, but start thinking about how you take out some of those layers. If you took out the requirement that they be seen once a year, that gets a little bit further. If you take out the requirement that they have to talk to a physician, that gets it a little bit further. I mean, there are ways to work with the current developers, I think, as well, to change their mindset, because they know how to do this. And interestingly, NCQA's been doing, just as one example, a lot of the work developing the measures for Medicaid. So they're out there the same folks who have been developing measures traditionally in the health plan world are now developing measures that have really no direct connection back, but are for Medicaid plans. So I think there's an opportunity there to really build that community that's the current measure developers with the folks in the population health space and see if there's some shared learning and opportunities for a little marriage making.
And does that tie into your initial thought around throwing a concept out there for developers to react to? When you said that,
there's two sides. Yes, we could do that. We could put out concepts that would be very helpful, but I also think we want to have an opportunity for developers to throw a concept in to say, is this the type of thing that would work? But there's one, I just want to do one little tweaking, though, here. This is not a matter of just going to the public health folks and the population health folks and saying, wait a minute, you guys don't get this, let's help you get it. This isn't gotten at all on the clinical side. So we have to work there also and somehow bring these things to – and I would agree with something you said earlier, Matt. Probably the first place to work on is the overlap of those two. The overlap may not be appreciated by either side as much as it needs to be.
I just add one little point to this. I mean, I was struck – I was saying to Ron during a break that we hear talk about measure developers. If you went to an APHA meeting and said, we're going to have a reception for all the measure developers, you'd have an empty room because people just don't think of themselves in that category. And I think we've got to sort of build an identity in a way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good point. Sue, are you?
Well, I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but there are a couple things I wanted to bring up, and I don't know if this is appropriate time or not. One is we talked earlier about what else is going out there in the field. Who else is developing all these measures? As Neil talked about, that there's lots of competition in the field, and I think, Paul, you suggested gathering that data. Who else is doing all those? And then the other is the unusual partners that are out there doing this work now. The Federal Reserve is going all around the country doing the intersection of health and economic development. They've had all these national conversations going on, and United Ways are getting really involved in health improvement at the local level. In our area, they have a huge childhood obesity initiative that they've involved the entire community, all the health systems, everybody involved.
CIA tracks comparative data between U.S. health and other nations. I mean, it's amazing. That competitive analysis is something I think we shouldn't lose.
Yeah, and I think the competitive analysis that you're referring to is a little bit different than developing that community of interest.
Maybe we should call it collaborative analysis or something.
Yes, because these aren't necessarily your competitors. These are other folks that might be operating in the space that NQF could be in terms of interest in gathering measures. So let's call it, tell me what you had said, the terminology.
A collaborative analysis, I don't know.
Okay.
We're offering up the potential for measures that could appeal to that space where public health and clinical care overlap. And there's no reason to go through the development process. I think that's the whole point. There's every reason for NQF to claim those measures. There's no reason for NQF to have to develop them all over again.
Right.
Or to suggest that they be developed. It's just it's creative stealing for the purpose that NQF has been asked to work in the population space.
Right. And most organizations would not view it as stealing or competitive in any way because it's furthering something that they've already worked on And I think most organizations would view that, view the whole standardization issue as you all have, as something that would be positive. Right? Yeah.
Well, a specific suggestion about that. I think that there's a lot of resonance about finding this intersection or sweet spot between clinical care and public health. I don't think this may not be consistent with NQF's philosophy, but it would be, I think, quite interesting perhaps to convene a group of, I don't know, in public health, I guess you don't call them measure developers, but whatever they're called in public health, and from clinical care, to get together and focus on a few measures, and maybe it's the health behaviors measures, and that there would be a background paper that would say here are all the measures out there in public health and clinical care, and the charge would be to come up with a set of harmonized measures that could be used in both domains and to make the case for doing that. So it wouldn't be a call for measures; it would be something different. And I don't know if NQF does that, but it would be an interesting exercise, I think.
Like a data palooza for these.
Measure palooza.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I would sort of harken back to the discussion we had about the smoking measures yesterday. Is that there's a lot of people interested in smoking and tobacco. Different parts of CDC for different surveys. If you look at the county health rankings, they've got tobacco use in there and so on. And I think that getting all these folks together with the people in the clinical world who are interested in these topics to kind of think through, you know, what is the point of intersection and the way that the measures are all out there, at least the survey questions are all out there, that we can do a better job of harmonizing and things like that would be a very useful exercise.
Mm-hmm. Helen, is yours up? It was just up from the last time. Okay.
So part of it would be convening is helpful, but the other thing is outreach. I mean, you first got to go to other people's table before you invite them to your table, and that would be part of this also is to sort of, again, it's part of that collaborative analysis. Who's out there in this world that we should touch base with? And, you know, there's certainly the APHA meetings, which we could get presentations and a workshop added on to. I think, you know, CSTE, Council for State and Territorial Epidemiologists, if you tweak them, they will fight you to the death. So you've got to make sure you get in with them the right way so they support this if you tweak them. In other words, you know, politically, any group that's been enlisted will be your ally. If they feel like you're stepping on their toes, they are not your ally. And with all due respect to the epidemiologists, they can argue you to death on anything if you want them. But they're also phenomenally powerful if we engage them. So we should think about that as part of this collaborative analysis. Who do we need to get to?
Right.
To talk to enlist their help and support.
So can we continue that list? It would be actually really useful just to for the people in the room just to throw out some of those organizations. We can engage the rest of the
committee. Let's take an aside. We'll do like a little break from the fishbone exercise, okay, to just brainstorm, you know, quickly in a couple of minutes who off the top of your head or what some of those organizations are out there that you might want to include in this collaborative analysis. Okay. I can write them down here. Maybe. Okay.
I'll do this.
So we'll say collaborative analysis, these are potential partners. Okay.
I would give you three. There's academic partners, funding partners, and practice partners would be three main categories. And I think funding partners, this might be the type of thing an RWJ would be interested in. CDC should be interested in it. ARC should be interested in it. So there's a number of, we heard that HRSA might be interested. So there's a number of groups like that that we need to get to. Some of those are also practice partners. But APHA is one, CSTE, which is the epidemiologist, is one. I think the HIV Association is one.
We're focusing on behaviors. There's a group that deals with that at the among the state health organizations. I forget what that's called. The
there's one that deals with
chronic disease. Probably is the
chronic disease directors. They, that we convene that group of 20 organizations on a quarterly basis, so we can get you to all of them. Some are going to be more powerful than others, and then I mean NACHO's got to be one of them, and you would have a world that you relate to. I think maybe we should do this via email also. I mean, rather
is
the list now.
Brainstorm this list via email.
We could. I mean.
Okay. I mean that you don't necessarily have to be together to do that. So. All right. Can I let me ask you for your third category?
Practice partners, people actually in the field doing the work, using the measures. They would come in each of those levels, but under funding, they'd clearly be this government and philanthropic.
Do you disagree? Agree? What are you thinking? No, no thoughts. Okay.
Well, I would hope they would be a funding partner, but they also have many components of it that are in the business of the practice.
And the developer measures.
Right.
Microphones. And that's an example of a organization or potential partner that could fall under several of these categories.
Right.
I don't think there's anything wrong with having.
There's a category missing. They do a lot of work in measure development. Which doesn't fit neatly in one of those. What about measure developers?
I've been lumping them under the practice group, but they're also in academics, and they're also, if you put government in there, you can, or maybe we want to add explicitly measure developers, but they do actually fall in most of those categories. I don't know what the word for it.
What's an example of that was just in your head about someone in that category?
CDC and NCQA. I don't think it's not only about the public sector. I mean, we're talking about the convergence, I think.
Yeah, I'm thinking a group like RAND would not fit in any of those three. So I don't know if it's academic or research. Is that what you're thinking, more research than?
Let's add the category. Let's call them practice developers then, for that matter.
Brainstorm. And then fit the categories after.
I like other. It leaves it broad. Okay.
Well, I would imagine things like the folks of Wisconsin who do the county health rankings and the Legacy Foundation for the tobacco related things. And, yeah.
Okay. So I'll just put a few examples under each of these. What's an example of an academic?
I would have put Wisconsin there.
Oh, Wisconsin, go there.
You can't separate Wisconsin from an RWJ. It's RWJ. It just happens to be that the people who do the work are Wisconsin. I mean, that's an RWJ project now. So.
Yes, that's for sure. But we really want the people who are doing the intellectual work.
True. So the reason I'm bringing that up is there may be other people at RWJ that aren't affiliated with the healthy. With the county health rankings, that may also be people we want to talk to.
Okay.
Good point. Keep your partners as broad as possible. I think that's a good point.
We were talking about before, and maybe we need to reapproach them. But the healthy people, and I don't know where they would. No, that's ODPHP.
But I also want to throw out there, when you're dealing with healthy people, when you're dealing with Wisconsin, when you're dealing with some of the, or you think about, United does America's health rankings and the Kaiser Foundation and all of that, they're not developing measures. They're using measures, because county health rankings are using BRFSS for the most part, right? So they can't submit those measures.
They're developing, they're indicators. But you can easily make measures from indicators and indices.
Yeah, but they're not really.
Sarah's
doing
right. They're
that.
Using publicly available
I
data.
I guess my point is that they're using data from the CDC for the most part. So they can't submit those unless they do develop them into a measure.
I don't think we should worry about categorization so much now as just getting the list of organizations.
Yeah, because you may not at this moment in time see the obvious tie-in or a direct tie-in for a potential partner, but as you outreach to these people, regardless of what their these organizations, regardless of what their role is, the ways to partner might become more clear. So I agree. Have this be a brainstorming exercise for yourselves more than anything else.
It seems like, Sarah, though, you weren't talking about categorization. You were talking about should they even be on the list, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to me, some of the folks that were I mean, I guess it all depends on what's the use, you know, what is the purpose of the list. If the purpose of the list is twofold, one, to engage the users of such measures, then those folks fit. But if it's to engage people to submit measures, they can't submit measures they didn't develop or aren't measures in the first place.
And perhaps it's both. Ron, you had a comment?
Yeah, I'm not really clear on the it. You know, we're coming up with a list to do what?
Okay. And the list is supposed
to... Well, if I may, I think if we try to do... If whatever it is too broad and you list every conceivable partner, nothing's going to get accomplished. And I would just suggest that if there is a follow-up, that one really narrow and look for some type of an early win. So if we look at every potential opportunity for healthcare and public health to work together and to overlap, I mean, there have been efforts, medics and in public health initiatives, and they've gone not too far. And so I'm just suggesting that maybe we...
So here's a question, a process question, because that was a very good question. So based on that, a process question for this group and the steering committee. So this exercise of identifying potential partners in this collaborative analysis, or putting an initial list together of potential partners, could be users, could be developers. This can be done. Well, you have a choice. We can do a brainstorming here and use this time here while you're together to do that. And then perhaps a second step would be some analysis, to your point, Sarah, about Ron, about let's focus on some organizations that have some clear, solid links where we can possibly develop some initial partnerships. We can do that here using this time, or that can be something that you choose to do via email post meeting. It's one item on this fishbone diagram of what to do differently when we are issuing a call for measures or whatever.
I thought it was actually one of five potential in strategic map language, strategic priorities that are potentially available to address the problem of too few measures were submitted. And the broad category was identifying other measures in use. And these are sources, these are potential places where other measures are in use now. And it would be useful to ask them or for someone to determine what measures do they have in use that relate to the population health work that NQF is doing.
I had been, I mean, I think so you're talking about sort of surveying the field for what's out there. But I was actually thinking at a different level. I was thinking, who are the opinion leaders you want to enlist in terms of collaboration or at least support, who either develop, who either fund, develop, or use measures? Because what you don't want to do is ignore an important group that then comes back and argues with you or fights you. I was talking about how do you get the movement started.
I was thinking of your definition as opinion leaders as a part of developing that community of practice. And I was seeing that, or at least I wrote that down as something different from doing sort of what I call an environmental survey of who's out there that might have some standards in place, more to your definition. The level of partnership, could be very different. So I see those as two potentially different lists or groups of organizations for you. This is more an environmental survey of what's out there versus your community of practice, which are those key partners and opinion leaders that you want to make sure to involve.
Can I just report that I'm scanning my emails and I got one from another CDC-oriented measurement project I'm involved in, all about an ASPE health systems measurement project that has a population health component, that has weight, smoking, all sorts of good
stuff
like that.
There are other, others out there. So let's do this. Let's define what these two separate things. One is developing or creating your community of practice, right? Those opinion leaders. And then the other is doing a, we don't want to call it a competitive analysis, but an environmental analysis, if you will. So maybe we shouldn't call it potential partners. Do you want to look at, you know, just what's out there already that we can use and build on?
Go back to what's the problem we're trying to solve. I mean, are we trying to create a community of practice and get a lot of other people working in this area, or are we trying to help NQF get good measures submitted so that their portfolio of measures is increased?
Just to follow up on, I actually wrote down what Paul said because I found that incredibly helpful. So if we think about sort of building on Matt's idea of saying, let's focus on a few of the big ticket healthy behaviors, bring together all the various entities in the clinical community, the development community, the public health community, what Paul said, which really resonated with me, was you have to outreach to other people's tables. And so to me, the question was, who's out there who is doing this work in the public health field who we've probably never even talked to? We talked to CDC, but I certainly have never talked to CSTE or some of these other groups. So just the thing for me was just a question of who's out there in this space that if we were going to try to think about some convening like this, we want to make sure we include so we don't wind up at the end having missed a really important player in the space.
And can I just add one to that? The Academy Health, particularly the Public Health Systems Research Interest Group, I'm currently the chair of that, and we're just beginning a project with RWJ funding about translation about public health systems research. I think this would be very interesting.
So who's out there, if we define this list as who's out there for us to partner with? And these broad categories, academic, funding, practice partners, and other. That brings us, it seems like there's energy around brainstorming where those partners might be. Is that something you want to do now, or do you want to do it via email later? Helen, you think we're okay now? Okay.
So while we are brainstorming this list of partners and everything, and so much so we love reinventing the wheel in the U.S., there's been a lot of good work that has been done in Europe. I'm sure many of you are aware of it. In the United Kingdom, they implemented quality and QOF framework. I forget
quality
what
outcomes framework.
That's what it is. And it has been in effect. They've been using it for 4 or 5 years now, and they've actually started seeing some negative consequences at this point. What started happening over there was that clinicians started focusing on some of these measures, and the outcomes worsened from other performance measures. The other things that should have been done, that started getting ignored. I'm not going to call them partners or anything. So in Germany, isn't AZQ has been doing some very good work in this arena as one for a very long time, and they're way ahead of us. And somehow I wonder if I don't know how will this work, but I think if we can engage some of these folks, at least learn from their lessons, I think that would be more helpful aside from what we're going to be doing within the U.S. So we can, rather than us being in 5 years' time, just going where they are at, maybe we can take a little bit of a head start here.
Very good. Good point. Okay. All right, I'm looking at our time frame. We were supposed to be breaking for lunch 2 minutes ago. So Oh, it'll be here at 12? Okay. So we'll use 10 more minutes. So to kind of better define what we're trying to come up with here, this is who, what are the organizations that are out there that we can richly partner with to get some quick hits? A couple under academic. Any others under funding? I have CDC.
Not necessarily a category, but folks who've thought about this, the Community Indicators Consortium. Pardon? Community Indicators Consortium. They look at broad community indicators, some of which impact health, some of which impact, you know, urban planning. It's a variety of approaches, and they're I think they're Florida-based. They actually. Well, I know that some folks actually at NACHO have dealt with the Community Indicators Consortium. We've dealt with them as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any others you can think of under practice partners?
Outside the box kind of partners like the Federal Reserve that are trying to use this data in conversations around the country in United Ways that are developing projects and things and doing needs assessments all around the country.
Any other?
Larry, I just had a quick comment on what Ron, sorry, I just looked them up because I had never heard of them. They have an integrating community indicators and performance measures project. So they're trying to do what they do with performance measures. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like very similar objectives there. Okay. So let's record these as at least an initial start to some partners that we'd like to reach out to. See what they have, what results they might already be doing.
Just to give you an example, the group that Ron has just talked about, the Community Indicators Project, they've got a list of probably 300 communities and organizations that have indicators as part of their work.
Mm-hmm. So to your earlier point, there might be a lot of work out there that does not require reinventing the wheel mm-hmm. on NQF's part.
Mm-hmm. The problem could be that their indicators tend to be what we've been referring to as some of the stretch indicators, if you will,
right.
that might not be the ones that NQF would initially wish to endorse. And so that's part of the rub. What I thought Matt was suggesting was starting with some where it's maybe a little bit more obvious how healthcare.
And that in the framework that you were helping us develop, that's a second of the strategic priorities, which have to do with refining the guidance and the definitions, and really refining. So what's the project about right now? What's this work at NQF all about right now? And so we just did a deep dive into one strategic priority. They were listed under some of the other ones, a number of ideas. What someone has to decide is which of the strategic priorities is going to be a focus first, or is there some sequence in which some order in which of prioritization. And then what are their resources within NQF to do? Because we're not going to be able to do that work. We've all got full-time jobs somewhere
right.
else.
If we take these as the strategic priorities you're talking about, then, and Helen, check me if I'm wrong here, but we're gathering this information, then there are some choice points for NQF to look at. Do we want to pursue some of these things? If so, how? And in what order?
So the five, as an example, just the way that I was keeping my own notes about this, the five, and these are in no particular order, but they're...
Excuse me one second. Yeah. I just want to make sure that you're going to be recording the five. The five items that... yes.
Yeah. So identifying other measures in use or other partners. That's the one we just got through talking about. A second potential priority is refining the guidance and the definitions for the project and for NQF. Mm-hmm. And under that are the revising the worksheet or giving examples, providing technical assistance. Those are, you know, one level down from refining the guidance and the definitions. A third potential area is reducing the burden for people who have to submit. So increasing time or finding funding to support developers or making it fun for developers to submit would be things that could be done under there. A fourth is describing the NQF value proposition, mm-hmm. so that people understand the potential users and uses. That's the way it was described earlier. And a fifth is simply raising the brand awareness of NQF, and that has to do with outreach into specific places and to help people understand what NQF is all about. So if those are five different areas of work, and we've got examples, we've described ways in which each of those could be fleshed out at the next level, now somebody has to decide what's the best one to focus on first, or the best ones to focus on first, and what kinds of resources are there available to get that kind of work done? What would it take to get that work done? Mm-hmm. That's the way my head is processing the conversation. Whether that works for anybody else,
right?
I don't know.
No, that makes perfect sense in that the five strategic areas that you're describing are sort of the scales or the bones of the fish diagram and some of the particulars, off of them. As you said, we kind of did a deep dive into who's out there doing an environmental analysis for partners. Are there any other things or strategic areas that we would do differently other than those five? Anybody think of anything else? Helen?
I just would love to have this group actually help us talk through the value proposition. We keep saying we need one, but I think it would actually be really helpful if we have the time to actually walk through what would make other folks want to bring those measures forward to NQF, and or what would make developers like NCQA potentially think about a different approach to bringing in measures that are closer to what you actually want mm-hmm. and need.
Well, I see being able to carve out the time. We were planning on a working lunch anyway, so maybe we can take a deep dive, if you will, into articulating that value proposition.
Can I make a suggestion, Helen, on that point? Who here at NQF now could characterize the value proposition for your current customers, the people who are making use of what you typically generate? Because rather than trying to develop something de novo, couldn't we see what you think the value proposition is now for them and adapt it?
Although I think it's, and I can do that easily, and I'm happy to do that after people get food, and perhaps if you want to talk about that, if that's useful, it's just not clear to me. I understand how it works in sort of the spheres that, you know, Sarah and I live in to a certain extent, and Amir, I'm not sure I understand how that translates to a public health agency, and would they see the value if their measures don't need to be endorsed to be picked up mm-hmm. for accreditation, if their measures don't need to be endorsed to be picked up for whatever purposes we're discussing. That, I mean, the harmonization piece I get, the linked piece I get, mm-hmm. but it's the concentric circles out that is harder for me.
How well do you feel you understand how NCQA and other groups that already submit measures to you would value this? Or how could do they value it? Is there NCAQA came yesterday with a measure of did a doctor assess a BMI or provider assess a BMI? They could have, with health plan data, come with a measure that says what is the average BMI in the population served by this insurer? very different, or what is the rate of obesity in the population? Sure, they didn't go there. They still stuck with a one-on-one clinical approach. So why didn't they go there? They really could be a leader here, but they haven't. Are they working on it?
I think they're working on it. I mean, again, this is unfortunately the issues of resources. I mean, they're working on it. They're getting funding to do new Medicaid measures that do some of that. These are traditional HEDIS measures. Sarah can probably speak to this better than anyone here, having worked on them, where they need to have a set of measures they can use to accredit health plans, which at least traditionally have been about the patient interaction. Do you want to speak to that, Sarah, more than me?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, you know, to answer the question, why did NCQA bring what they brought, that's what they have. You know, and, you know, so we also had this discussion a couple times yesterday, is that, you know, this group is making a distinction between clinical measures and population health measures, and we probably should have looked at those measures in phase one. But they were held, you know, and we were told last fall that they were going to be held, the BMI measures, because we thought we'd get more population health type measures. You know, I don't think NCQA has historically been pushed, nor has, you know, AMA PCPI, nor has CMS, to look at broader categories that aren't visit-based measures. You know, it's just something that their audience is, you know, health plans. You know, they're looking at what are large employers requiring of health plans. And they also have to develop measures based on the data available through health plan data. So, you know, to broaden that, yes, you're going to start seeing some very different measures come out of NCQA. They just had a call for measures that closed Tuesday for that Medicaid project, so looking for the core set of child maternal health measures. But in all honesty, very similar to a HEDIS measure except adapted for a Medicaid population. They just haven't been pushed.
So let's do this. Oh, I'm sorry. Ron?
Is anybody pushing when it comes to the accountable care organizations? Do you think that there would be a different set of measures needed when you get, because that's not all individual patient focused?
Yeah, so, and I don't know how much Kaiser's doing any of this, but when you look at, you know, our portfolio of metrics, whether it's ACO or some of the stuff that we're doing to incentivize providers by paying them for quality, we're still using HEDIS indicators and adapting them for use in those models. And, you know, but that's part of the value prop. To come back, it comes back to the value proposition. As a plan, we don't like to create our own measures. It's a lot of work. It's time intensive. So then we come back to, okay, what does NQF have out there that they endorsed? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a visual.
Yeah. Right.
Well, part of this is that the market isn't driving what we'd like it to drive. And so one of the strategic questions is, how do you change the market so that, I mean, when we were a health plan, GE came to us and said, you get accreditation, we're taking our business away from you. All of a sudden, we had a reason to do it, and we did it. And then they would come basically and say, I want you to jump, and it'd be how high? So who's saying jump? Because I do think an employer that's as sophisticated as GE was, where they were looking at combining, they were just looking at productivity and absenteeism completely and wanted to combine their health care with their disability, with their workers' compensation. They were hugely sophisticated. So wouldn't GE get the fact that we want you to look at our entire insured population to ensure they're healthy, not just that the doctor gave the shot at the visit?
And I would say most plans are doing that for large groups like that. You know, for the national accounts, we're able to take data from them, or they're taking data from us. We're all sharing data and doing that. But, you know, who's wagging the tail right now is CMS with the Medicare Stars program. You know, we'd love to see, you know, and on the Medicaid side, it's just still so disorganized in dealing with state by state by state by state requirements of performance guarantees. So, yeah, I mean, that's what's driving it still, is CMS and large employers.
One other stakeholder group to consider, at least going through for ideas, would be like the medical director of GE. They are so phenomenally, the way they think about health was way beyond anything we could ever deliver.
Verizon,
and the difference is in the public sector, you have to process everything to death. Whereas GE could just come and say, you'd say, well, why do you want us to do that? And they'd say, because we said so.
And that's a piece of the value proposition, Helen, that I think you're trying to create. The value proposition, this is an example from my own practice in a community. I was asked to develop a system which provided primary care to everybody in the community that didn't have access, didn't have insurance, or was underinsured. And what occurred to me, and we did the business plan and we did it, what occurred to me as I was doing that was, if I could have enough, if I could capture enough people in that health plan, I could influence the practice of medicine in the community. So the value proposition, that's one statement. The second statement is, I assumed, and maybe incorrectly, that the value proposition for me working with you here was that if NQF adopted the right population measures, that the customers who use those measures, Medicare, potentially Medicaid, businesses and others, would say, well, wait a second, you know, that's actually a better set of measures than the ones that we've been asking the plans and the physicians and the and other folks to work on. So for people in the practice of public health, the third piece of this, an early epiphany in my practice of public health was I walked out of a clinic that we ran in the local community. And I looked across the street, and there was a school, and there was another organization. I said to myself, you know, as the local health official in my community, if I could improve health status in the community, I would have done it a long time ago. I needed a range of other partners to get that done. So the third piece of this is, if you've got that leverage at NQF to make those things happen that I just described, and you can say to the public health practice partners, we have that leverage. If you can help us get the right indicators, your job of improving health in the community will be much easier because we are your partner. You didn't know that, but we are. And here's what we can do for you, which is always a sales job. It's always the value proposition. It's not you're telling somebody else what you can do for them. That's the real value proposition that attracts the people in public health in who are on the cutting edge of trying to get something done in their community other than the direct delivery of services, which they're no longer getting funded to do.
And I think that's a perfect spot for us to take a break. Lunch is here, I'm told, somewhere, Elisa, outside? Okay. Let's take, we are planning to have a working lunch, but let's take, you know, let's see, until quarter after 12 at least to just get ourselves some lunch, take care of our whatever our needs are, and then we can reconvene. Okay? All right, thanks. Thank you for articulating that
Helen,
so well, too.
You help. You're helping the public health practice partners survive.
I will not take offense if you're finishing up your lunch. What we did while we were on break is to go ahead and capture on the screen here those five fish bones, if you will, or five strategic activities in order to improve our results whether we resubmit the call for measures or put out any call for measures, what we would want to do differently. Okay. So I'd like to take a look and make sure that this captures what we were saying appropriately. Then what we're going to do, we took a deep dive into number one, identifying our partners and who those folks could be. We had a conversation, not quite sure we're done with that conversation around NQF's value proposition. Okay, so we're going to finish that up. And then what we can do, once we have agreement on those are the five key things to moving forward, is to have some discussion about next steps in each of these five areas. Okay. So I think what Robert summarized very nicely that was on the flip charts that nobody could see were the five strategies that we want to use to improving our data call response. So one, we said it's important that we identify partners. We want to solicit targeted developers. We want to establish some sort of community of practice or key partners and do some collaborative analysis. You know, who's out there that might have information? And we said, you know, we could categorize them under academic, funding, practice, or others. And we had some initial examples of some of those organizations. And then we also said we needed to refine guidance, and that include revising the worksheets, including some examples of completed measures, providing examples of providing some technical support, and providing some training or education for developers as well. We also said we wanted to reduce the burden to submit for our developers, and that might mean increasing the length of time they have to meet their deadline, and utilize this two-stage process to introduce measure concepts. And so that might make it easier for them. We also said we needed to describe NQF's value proposition if we reach out to a broader constituency. And how would we do that? Well, harmonize the standards from the healthcare delivery system, explaining to people that harmonizing standards from the healthcare delivery system results in improved surveillance or assessment of public health. We also said establish measure developers from clinical care and public health, bring them together in some kind of forum to develop draft measures that could be used in both domains. Okay, that had to do with, you know, where's that sweet spot where both domains overlap, and can we get some, you know, measure developers from each of those areas to kind of put put their heads together and come up with some sample measures. And then we also said another thing we needed to do was raise the brand awareness of NQF, meaning there, raise NQF's recognition, if you will, out there with a broader constituency base, and what role they may be able to play in standard of measures beyond just the clinical arena. Okay. Does that capture what we had discussed earlier before the lunch break?
Could I offer some modifications, Kristen? Do you mind going down? So I think the community practice and partners, for me, I conceived of that under part of that cluster of technical assistance training and education. It's to actually put together a group of people who work on these things, who can inform and educate people and support each other. So I was just dropping that down and then making collaborative analysis just be. That is an activity in and of itself, as opposed to being under community of practice. So I dropped B, that community of practice, down as an E, perhaps, or something or other, under 2.
Under refining guidance?
Yeah, or it could be under that, or reduce the burden to submit, either one of those, really. The issue of, well, the brand awareness of NQF, almost, I do think it's very important, but
it's not a strategic objective, maybe.
It's not the responsibility of this group. Now, we might have a responsibility to be representatives about talking about NQF's relevance to the public health community if we define that value proposition, but the branding of NQF is NQF's issue. And I also, by brand, it's not a let's go tell everyone NQF is important about this. To me, that's a much more complex construct, which includes NQF looking at who it is and deciding whether this is part of what NQF is, and if it is, restructuring itself to do this kind of business. And that is how, that is an organizational development process for NQF. A brand is what people comes to people's mind when they think of NQF. That's pretty far downstream.
I think really this is related to the value proposition thing.
Yeah.
And it's whatever NQF's brand is, it's making the public health community understand how that might be relevant to them.
Yeah.
So, yes, okay. That makes sense to me, raising the awareness. And I'll come back to you, Robert. Was there something around the fifth strategic objective that we did not capture? Or if you're comfortable, we want to make sure everybody's comfortable with the way we're looking at something. So are you comfortable with the way it is now? Is there something else that you would see going under a fifth strategic objective?
Glad you didn't capture the arm. I think now it's a question of sort of lumping and splitting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm comfortable. I saw the reason why I included raising brand awareness as a separate issue was because I wasn't thinking specifically about the work of this particular group. And I was thinking about us as helping the population health staff at NQF frame their presentation to the NQF board, for example, and that what we were doing here was serving, if you will, serving as a board of directors, appropriately or not, for Helen and her staff as they're trying to think through their role within NQF. And so that was why I had it as a separate strategic priority. But I mean, I don't care.
I think there's something there, but I think I kind of feel like the blind man feeling the elephant, because is there a population health staff in NQF? We have the NPP, National Parties Partnership, which has staff working on this. We have this group, and then I don't know where the MAP process exists within. I don't know a lot about it in NQF, the measure assessment process, I guess. Measure Application Partnership, because they are starting, apparently, to look at population health in something that I just learned about today. So there's all this stuff going on. I have no idea whether there is a... Well, we have not been introduced to the notion about whether there is a strategic vision and strategic process NQF is doing, or whether these are random things going on. And it's I feel like we're working for an intelligence agency where we don't know what the other cells are doing, but what's going on? How do we fit together?
There was.
Yeah, I'm. That's. I mean, I don't know any of that, and so I assume that there is a population health staff, and we've been working with them.
In general, there have been a set of activities that are actually quite connected. I mean, Wendy Vernon was here the entire morning listening from NPP. National Parties Partnership has been staffing the work group that you and Peter have been working on. We've got the map is just sort of in its preconceptual phase of thinking about creating these families of measures, this idea of sort of cascading up and down. And one of the topics on the list for the future is population health as being something to consider. There's nothing else happening at the moment. These activities are all about how do we sort of move this field forward. Our role in it is, are there measures out there to bring forward? NPPs is setting the sort of broader vision, and the map is trying to work on alignment across the public and private sector. So there are different pieces of the puzzle, but I think the issue really is, I think particularly because, you know, we're guided by the National Quality Strategy. That's how we kind of do our work. They could not have made it more clear that population health is front and center and a high priority. So it is a high priority for NQF. I think the only issue is, how do we operationalize that, I think, is the issue that's still not completely clear.
Helen, quick question. Did someone replace Bonnie's position, or that position was eliminated?
No, we have not brought in content-specific people. I mean, Robin does our work on disparities, has done a lot of work in this field, but and Elisa has been doing this work for us assigned to this space, but no.
So in the context of the conversation this morning, could you have asked the other, in the call for population health measures, could other sections of NQF itself have responded to those call for measures because there are this other work going on within NQF? Or
NQF never develops measures. That's a hard line for us. So no one else within NQF is developing measures. And in fact, we did have the NPP folks weigh in on our call for measures, and we're actually quite helpful. But no, there is no measured development within NQF.
Is there a set of customers or partners for the other population health work at NQF that could have extended outreach?
Yep, and we worked closely with Karen and Wendy to figure out who those people were.
Right.
Yes, and we did.
Okay.
Yeah, and the map stuff is really pre-contemplative, so there's nobody there to work with yet.
Okay. I had in mind under the RAISE brand awareness as a fifth area, outreach into specific places that might be helpful or might be able to suggest measures, since that's where we were focused.
Anyway. I noticed, Matt, you had a comment.
For B, when I was originally thinking that not so much as an activity describing NQF's value proposition, but actually jumpstarting the measure development process, or creating a use case, or being a very important first step, that may push NQF up against that bright line of measure development, and one I'm not sure how you navigate, but if it's a convener role of measure developers, then maybe that's all right. But I see that as fundamentally different than describing the value proposition. It's jump-starting the population health measure development process by doing it. Or at least convening this group of stakeholders, and in so doing, I think demonstrating the value, the mutual benefit, and I hope we get to actually do what you asked, Helen, is to talk a little more about the value proposition before we're done.
Yes, yeah, that is definitely the next step. What I wanted to do was get some agreement that what we have here kind of captures the key strategies, if you will. So I'm going to say, you know, perhaps I hear what you're saying. It's not part of NQF's value proposition. It might be more around NQF's potential role in bringing disparate parties together or convening different parties to jumpstart the measure process. Would you see that, Michael?
I think it very much is the value proposition, but it's not describing it. It's creating it. It's really, right.
Right, and, right.
And in this new realm that NQF has not done that much business in.
So maybe so, we could put it under a value proposition, but just in terms of what is and.
But the other thing I like to add about that is that another important step there is this identifying the potential users and uses of NQF endorsed measures in this space, because I think that helps to figure out what the value proposition is as well.
Right. So C might be a list of potential users and uses. Would you see that as C under the value proposition? Developing list of potential users and uses.
I would say identify potential users and.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. Right.
How much is the issue here that a value proposition has to be created for NQF endorsement, which is what NQF does, versus a value proposition has to be created for population health measures? Because NQF is like the last step in this, where they endorse a measure that someone else has developed. But if we're really talking about this being developmental, all the way from we're having conceptual problems to practical problems to who would use it anyway to why would anybody want one, that's way before an endorsement process. So I'm wondering, part of the question is who should be playing in this field, either as a partner of NQF or rather than or in advance of NQF? Because, I mean, a lot of this smells like if anyone has an extra $1 million in IOM type study.
So that's why I want to put in identify the users and uses, because that really creates the value proposition, or at least helps to clarify the value proposition with respect to population health measures. And then the question is, if we're going to have those, what can NQF add to that?
Right.
I mean, it depends on your diagnosis of the problem. I don't know that we have a significant shortage of measures. We maybe have an overabundance of measures. I think there's probably a shortage on the very top of healthy people, that's healthy life expectancy, where we don't do that as well as other countries. But below that, there are busloads, truckloads of thousands and thousands of it's. And so that the value proposition may well be in the endorsement as opposed to the development, and especially if that endorsement bridges this gap that we've talked about between clinical and community by having a consistent set of measures used for performance improvement that also can be used for assessment.
Right. I think you're bringing up a good point, which is kind of a discussion of what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Does NQF want to look at, in their efforts to look at measures, do they want to expand their role to include creating forums to convene groups? So there's a choice point about a role there that is good to highlight. It's just a choice point. So NQF could play a role in an area where it's a new area. Where does the public and the one-on-one clinical areas intersect to assess health? that's kind of a new area. We've got a lot of stuff going on, but no standardization. So NQF has a choice point to broaden their role a little bit and see if they want to be or take on convening, so that then they're further along in standardization and measures and would be able to then fall back into their normal role of endorsement. So, yes, Ron.
I'm also thinking that any of the elements within the value proposition are choice points for NQF, in that we can sit around and come up with what we think the value proposition is. It really is the board that needs to say we agree or disagree. And, yeah, so before one would go out and tell folks this is the value proposition, the board needs to say we agree.
Right.
Or here's how we modify.
Right. And that's a really good point, because the one of the benefits of getting a group like this together is to come up with thorough recommendations that, you know, Ron, to your point, then the board has to make some choices regarding what they want to pursue, what they agree with, what they don't agree with. So the value of this group coming together is one of the values of this group coming together is to give them some ideas, the benefit of you know, your opinions. And that's what I think this is. If we want to move forward, you know, here are some ways that we can do it. Okay. So if we're okay with the way we've sort of organized, I don't want to over-assess how we've organized each of these steps and not get to taking some action on them. Okay? So if we're okay, if you're comfortable with how things are reflected and organized here in these four areas, then the next thing that we want to do is circle back. Yes, Helen.
I'm still struggling, and I understand Paul's point about, you know, the value proposition and the branding being about NQF, but I'm still struggling about whether, and I think this is a question for the highest levels of this group and NQF and whatever, how far out in those concentric circles do we go? I have no doubt that that is directly relevant when a measure clearly has some linkage back and influences what happens in a health plan and a healthcare system, et cetera. For example, we endorsed the measure last year that looked at number of days kids missed from school. No-brainer. Incredibly useful. I think it's a population health measure. I think you'd agree. But it's incredibly useful. You could see how a health system or a Kaiser would love to have a standardized way to track something like that for their kids with asthma in their health system. I think the question is, how far out does this group think is logical for NQF to go? Because I think we have to bring a set of questions like that to the board, which we haven't yet.
I think it's a developmental process, and it'll change over time. But the clinical world will go out so far. There'll be some overlap with public health, which go out further. But we have this debate in public health all the time also. You know, should we be having somebody full-time sitting in on the Transportation Commission meetings? So I think public health will go further than NQF can go. And so when we developed those three parts in the NPP, the reason we plugged in there that clinical preventative services was just to do that bridge to the clinical world to say, okay, that can be measured at a patient population level, so we'll call that population health. And at least some of us choked that down, realizing it was a developmental thing we had to do to bridge to clinical medicine.
It is to some extent another one of those strategic choices, because what Neil told us this morning in his presentation was there are other organizations and groups going out to the other space already. And so if they're out there, something's going to happen out there where people are going to turn to them, if they're successful, to when they're looking for the measures to be used. And the question for NQF is, to what extent is their business model potentially, I mean, in the worst case, in jeopardy, because the world moves to find the measures that NQF has heretofore offered as insufficient, and they turn somewhere else for them?
There are already, you know, major players like the Catholic Health Association that talks about, quote, community building, which is safe housing, job creation, things like that. So there's some who get this, but I mean, I think we just have to move at a pace, and my sense is that NQF will be a relatively conservative pace, which is
fine. I wonder if that is perhaps a fifth strategic area, that being describing the boundaries, those concentric circles that you're talking about, Helen. What are the boundaries or the circles that this group and NQF wants to play within, given that at it's this point in time, not Paul, as you said, you know, it's an evolutionary process. They may be expanded, but to put sort of a stake in the ground, I wonder if that's one of the strategic objectives that needs to be decided. Matt.
So I think the stake in the ground is the intersection, and that, I mean, that requires more thinking about what that intersection is, thinking about income. Doubt that NQF, I can, it's hard to imagine NQF would ever be endorsing an or high school graduation rate measure. But that caused me to think about the community health needs assessment. And it's an interesting maybe use case because it sits at this intersection. It's a requirement of hospitals to play in the public health arena. Now, sort of, unfortunately, I think hospitals are looking at that as what are the traditional public health measures, and actually even KP is looking at that as well, high school graduation rates and availability of parks and fresh food. But that could be an opportunity to think about what can the healthcare delivery system contribute to public health in this community health needs assessment, a reframing. And that may be a very significant opportunity to and so you could think of sets of measures. It's a different approach, that the community health needs assessment would be something that is endorsed, or a whole health risk assessment that has lots of measures within it for standardization.
I agree. I think that the place to emphasize initially is that interface, because and I think that HIV measure actually did that quite well. If there are specific measures that can be used for the community health assessments by hospitals and community health improvement plans, that would be helpful. But I wouldn't set a line to say we don't go beyond here. I would let the methodology do that for us, because if some really smart person figured out how to demonstrate a clear evidence link between high school graduation and health, that people could say, wow, they nailed it and they met the criteria, then let's go for it and take it, as opposed to, say, dismissing it out of hand. Over time, people will hopefully will get smart enough, and the evidence base will develop, so we can tie those things in.
Okay.
I would just like to support Matt's point as a starting point, because I think the critical thing there is that the hospitals already know about NQF, and they're about the only ones in this space that we're talking about. Well, maybe not the only ones, but they're the ones who know NQF the best.
So maybe the fifth objective or category might be initial areas or opportunities to move into the public health space.
It's really what I had in mind when I said identify potential users and uses. I mean, I think the community health needs assessment, IRS requirements, or so on, are the primary one to start with in that area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not something that's not already on the list.
Or just a series of use cases, which I think is really what we're kind of listing out, which I think is very helpful. Also, the Office of the National Coordinator is developing a series, I'm told, of more population health, or interested in developing a series of more population health measures for meaningful use stage 3 for 2015. We just met with them this week. So, again, they're thinking very prospectively about what they could do differently. Mm-hmm. So we can certainly explore those options, too.
Another one is the Medicare HRA that's required. That's a set, again, it's a set of measures, many of which are very important population health measures.
So I think what we're starting to get into is where are some low-hanging fruit or initial first steps that that NQF and this group, should it move forward, take as first steps So what I'd appreciate if you wouldn't mind recording just maybe exactly that. Maybe we don't have a fifth category. It's just, you know, proposed next steps could include, and some of these projects are good examples. Okay.
I actually like thinking about it as a fifth category because it's sort of a first decision. It's a first decision to make about then how you'd go about defining the value proposition, because you are forced to think about who are your initial customers for the products that will come out of NQF. And if in fact it's in the sweet spot that Matt has described, then it's the customers, traditional customers, which are still good customers for NQF, are the governmental customers out of HHS who've turned to NQF for these population health measures. And it could be expanded, the value proposition could be expanded to include the state governmental customer because they are Medicaid on a practical basis, and those state directors could use these metrics within their own states. And then I was thinking about the other governmental customer before we broke for lunch as the local customer, and the value proposition there that I was trying to describe was NQF and its metrics are partners for the local health department director, because the metrics that get adopted and promoted by NQF influence the practice and operationalization of the healthcare system in each of those directors' communities, and therefore NQF becomes a partner to leverage change that the local health department can't leverage or the director can't leverage on his or her own, which is exactly where people are trying to push the local health department directors and the state health department directors to not think that they have the capacity on their own to create healthier communities, but to leverage in a time of scarce resources, to leverage the resources that exist elsewhere to make that happen. And so in my colleague Paul Jarris's jargon, what NQF is actually doing is trying to leverage through its work the enterprise of the governmental public health system to leverage its work in both traditional and new ways.
I think, you know, you're up the community health assessment. I think that's a very rich area to look at, because we have, as you said, the public health accreditation requiring all state and local health departments and tribal and territorial health departments do community health assessment, community health improvement plan. Nonprofit hospitals have to do that. Well, what are the metrics they're going to use? And wouldn't it be useful to have standardized metrics so when that hospital who covers three communities in this state develops assessments of population health, it's the same set of measures that the three local health departments and the state health department engaged with that hospital are measuring. That would be a very powerful set of tools.
And it's evolving out, not coordinated, not harmonized. So
right.
That
right.
Community hospitals in the same geographic area are developing their own community health needs assessment, as is the public health entity. So they're like three or four or five different health assessments, the same community.
Yeah. And you've got new payment methodologies which are meant to address populations rather than individuals. And so there's those payers need measures to determine whether the needle has moved from one place to another as a result of what they're funding. And that's a state, that's a federal, state, and local opportunity. Also,
on the 990 form, on an annual basis, a nonprofit hospital has to report upon their community health assessment which priorities they are addressing and which they are not, and if not, why not. So again, let's have some standardized way of looking at this. Otherwise, it's just going to be meaningless what's coming out.
I want to capture some of this. I'm thinking some of this conversation is or should go under that value proposition or value equation. I'm also thinking that just from a, just so that you have something concrete to leave this meeting with, that maybe number five here does go back to identifying potential users and uses, and then we specifically identify where some of those areas are. We already talked about the community hospitals and leveraging what they're doing. So if we could do that reflected here, that would be great. And then, thank you. And then let's, I know Matt, you mentioned this. I'm sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. It's called. How about that? Then the other thing I'd like to circle back to, people have mentioned this a few times, is coming back to that value equation. We don't need to come up with one value equation, but if we can summarize what that value equation might be, I think that would help all make good use of the brain power in this room and help NQF look at making their choice points about how they choose to take action going forward. So let's look at that value proposition. We have A, B. I think we should move this to number five. What are some further ideas about what that value equation was? I know we broke for our lunch when, Robert, you were kind of summarizing what you thought NQF's leverage. Thank you.
One thing we talked about yesterday, which I think would be very helpful, is this, you know, there are so many surveys out there and data collection tools that all define what they're collecting differently. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, would be tremendously valuable if BRFS, YRS, YRBS, and all those different surveys used the same measure so that there's comparability. You can say, okay, YRBS goes up to age 18, BRFSS starts 18 to 64, so guess what? We now know what happens between this age range as opposed to there's a break in your knowledge because it's a different survey question.
So you're seeing that as part of NQF's value
equation? Well, that would be the value of having population measures. You're right. That's not necessarily NQF's. Right, okay.
Right. So maybe we can add that under NQF value equation is one of the things it could do is to play a role in harmonizing the – can you say that again, Helen?
I mean, even harmonizing the national surveys among themselves, which
– was a Fed for 7 years. That's not an easy proposition, but we'll be happy to be a partner in that.
Well, I know, right. And then part of the reason it's difficult for the Feds to do it is everybody's got the same voice. If there were an external group that could push it, that might actually make it easier.
Right. So the value equation is being that outside organization that can get the parties together and try to get some standardization.
Who's the customer? Because the value proposition is about who the customer is, and what one is trying to sell. So who's the customer here, or who are the customers?
In that case, it's the data. It's the users of the survey. That's lots of people use it. So I don't know how to get more specific, but wouldn't it be nice if the information from those surveys was clearer, more consistent, and had more utility. And that could be public health agencies. It could be clinical folks if they're trying to, because, you know, we have this problem of the public population health doing works at the population level largely through surveys and the clinical sector doing work by adding up individuals. And where will the two ever meet?
I think the customers are the public health entities that you described, probably federal, state, local, mm-hmm. and the healthcare organizations. And if you think of defining customers that way, I think that there's value to each. The value to the public health entities is having this rich vein of data from the clinical care delivery system. And the value to the clinical care delivery system is that with harmonized measures, you've got benchmarks and to measure your performance against.
So you're suggesting the customer would be the three different levels of government, as well as then the clinical care delivery systems, and that you all could define what the benefits are to each of those customer groups fairly easily.
Another value to the healthcare system is that at some point the IRS might say, well, the measures that you use in your needs assessment and improvement plans have to meet some standards, and endorsement by NQF could be that standard.
Maybe a standard community health needs assessment.
Yes.
So would there at some point be value to funding agencies like the United Way that, you know, when people apply community-based grants to that say it meets NQF population health measures?
Could that be a possible next step, or would that be something that you would want to include in a value equation?
It's another customer.
Right. So our customers would be the three different governmental levels. If we're just looking at this in a broad way, they would be the three different governmental levels. They would be the healthcare delivery systems, and could be, what would you call those, other organizations that are collecting data? How would you describe
that? Well, they're actually funding projects. RWJ would be one mm-hmm. that would fund projects in community and population health. They fund the Wisconsin projects and lots of things. So I would call them, I just call them funders.
Project funders.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's at three different public health levels as opposed to government. Government sounds too big.
Sounds too big, brother. So three different, how would you rephrase that?
Levels of public health organizations.
Okay. Yeah. So like a federal, a state, and then a local. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. So that helps us a little bit answer the question of who is the customer. Ron, did you want to add to that?
Excuse me. One of the dilemmas with the users of the measures being the primary customer is how do we sell to developers? Because as Mike pointed out earlier, there aren't that many developers of the population measures. And so we have customers for the measures, but not necessarily developers. Now, we heard from two, New York City Health Department and California, as potential both customer and developer. But I still think there's that gap out there of why should an organization spend its time, its money, developing a measure that ultimately, you know, will be used by folks. So one set of customers, yes, are the users of the measures. Another set of customers that I don't really think we've addressed are the developers of the measures.
I understand. Mike?
I think it's an important point. I think that what we think of as developers and what's the other word, owners or
stewards
might actually have to be rethought in this realm. Because so when you have something like, say, the smoking measure that's used on all kinds of federal surveys and could be used in other ways, you know, what does it really mean to be the developer of or the steward or something like that?
So do you think that would be an action item, is to look at how we define these customer groups?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can put that under action items.
I think there's almost an infinite number. Every grant has measures you have to meet of performance. And part of what drives people nuts is they come up with measures that they pull out of the air that then change 6 months into the grant. So it would actually be nice to have some valid, reliable measures to assess your performance against.
Well, isn't that one of the value equations that NQF brings is creating a market, if you will, a desire for an external standard approval where there isn't one now. There is one from a clinical standpoint, but we're saying NQF could be one, you know, an organization that helps to create that market, that desire in the public health sector. That is a possible benefit to add to the value equation.
And it's important for those organizations who have these ever-changing, incredibly diverse reporting requirements for pretty much the same thing, for them to understand the value in having some consistency. I'm not sure they currently do recognize the value in having that.
Okay. So NQF could create some consistency and standardization where there wasn't one, and that's a way to lessen the burden. So, and Mike, you had wanted to say something? Never mind. Yes.
I really like this idea of focusing on the community health needs assessment and thinking of the hospital's healthcare systems as a one primary audience. They have this new mandate, and then the public health community that's trying to do more with less and realizing they have to convene multi-stakeholder groups. That really is a sweet spot. And if you think of that as the core target audience, you start finding secondary ones that people that want to get on board, which would be other government agencies and the business community. And what made me think of that is the measure that Helen mentioned that's already NCQA endorsed, that's really about social role function for children, days missed of school. So if you take that to the working population, I mean, that's how you engage the business community with, you know, days of, you know, absenteeism or presentism. And that you really get others involved. And then Paul mentioned anybody who's funding anything wants these outcome measures. I mean, one of the things, we're making a big pitch in Cleveland to the basically all the philanthropic community that they fund all these initiatives, and then they underfund the evaluation, so they never really know if their money's doing any good. These kind of measures could be something that would be, if you made that the baseline that's always being assessed at a neighborhood level and a healthcare system level in a community, then they can, when they're funding new initiatives and you want to look at what is the impact, on job, people being able to go to work, children being able to go to school, healthcare utilization, if those data are already being collected, then that philanthropic community then doesn't have to put as much of their money into evaluation for every little thing in a way that doesn't matter if they invest in it. In a way that's on a community level. So I think the core constituency are the people that really have to do this community health needs assessment, but then you start bringing in lots of other stakeholders.
Okay. I want to record one second. I'm sorry, Matt. Let's record this community health assessment notion. It's been brought up several times as a good maybe first place to start. So maybe we can put that under the proposed next steps, include exploring that community health assessment, not mandate, but action that's already going on. And Matt,
it is a mandate.
It's a mandate.
Yeah. it's a law. And then furthermore, it's not just the community health needs assessment, but it's the improvement plans as well. It's two separate mandates,
okay,
which require different kinds of measures. Well,
Matt.
Well, to build on that, I think that an entire community health needs assessment would collapse under the weight of the NQF review criteria. Every element of that assessment, that just sounds overwhelming. But perhaps there's some core subset of it. And maybe it's the healthy behaviors that I keep bringing up, that where it's a bite out of it. It's a more tractable subset that NQF could convene, and it could be maybe that group of stakeholders that we talked about, of people from public health and people from clinical care delivery measure developers, to agree on not the entire thing, but a subset of it.
Yes, the subset would be the healthy behaviors section.
So
one way to address that might be to get this group of measure developers to both clinical and public together to look at that.
And the advantage of focusing on that is in this intersection, sweet spot.
Right.
The high school graduation, it's harder to make the case.
Right. Well, that goes back to Helen's point of within these concentric circles that, you know, it's easy to make the case that it's in one of those smaller initial concentric circles. Mm-hmm. Amir.
So is it also, could be NKF's role be just endorse some of the measures as well, like the performance of the performance measures, sort of an evaluation of performance measures? And I don't know, is a lot of conflict coming into play too, that if you endorse the measures, whether you should even be evaluating the measures. But I think it's some sort of evaluation in terms of feedback loop as well, whether, and I don't know if NQF is planning to go that route or not, or...
We're doing it in a lot of different ways, not as formal as I'd like. Our new search system, the quality positioning system for all the measures, allows you to give feedback on the measures. We solicit implementation comments every time a measure that's been endorsed is up for maintenance. We try to do an annual assessment of the overall portfolio of what it's being used for. And our usability task force this year changed our usability criteria, and so all projects beginning in the fall have a much will need to report on how the measure has proved useful in terms of improvements and also any potential unintended consequences as a result as well. So we'll start gathering that data as we move forward prospectively.
In this case, I think it's going to be extremely useful because, as I said, we have already endorsed some of the measures, and I know we're talking about how to make it more attractive to get more measures, but maybe we do need to see what we've already done, where did it get us.
I wonder about sort of turning over some rocks, such as another place of intersection between the clinical world and the public health world is in vital statistics. And these are hugely unreliable, invalid reams of data being produced that we make national policy decisions on. But it's basically trash. I mean, if you look at what gets into a death record, you're sitting there seeing 30 patients, and they bring you a stack like this of records and plop it in front of you to say, your partner's off today, will you fill out this death certificate? And you're like flipping through this thing saying, oh, okay, I'll call it diabetes. Well, that's not a cause of death, but that's what gets into it. So, I mean, I don't know if anyone even would want to go there, but it's frightening, the types of decisions that are made. Or who calls in the birth record? It's a clerk who may have some education after high school, who's sitting there phoning in or entering into the electronic birth record system the information on the birth. I mean, so I don't know if we want to turn those rocks over, but it is a really frightening, I mean, if you actually look at the quality of the data, it's horrible. So.
And actually, one of our child health perinatal measures emerged out of California's efforts to do just that, to improve their vital stats data. So they were able to show the reliability and validity of the data on the work they've done to electronify, to put those data into a better database. So, you know, there are options to do that when there are good data available that could be made better, that could be brought to bear for that.
Well, can I see that as another piece of NQF's value equation? If NQF and this group is in a position to create some standard measures around, you know, things like that, it could be another piece of the value equation. I know you've been trying to say something wrong. Sorry.
I always try to say something. Mm-hmm. A comment that Kurt made earlier and something that Matt has said as well as Paul made me think about another potential stakeholder, customer, funder group, which would be the Conversion Foundations, and that they're struggling with how to invest the dollars that they have to invest in communities to make a difference in terms of health. And they go back to traditional measures, but they really, I think some of them, a lot of them, would like to get a little beyond the traditional, but they really don't know how to do that. Mm. They don't really have the metrics. And maybe Conversion Foundations, mm-hmm. some of the larger ones or some of them coming together, might be willing to invest in some efforts that really would look at this intersection, develop some measures that they can use for their funding decisions and for their monitoring.
Right. Good potential partner.
And they've got an organization, the National Network of Public Health Institutes. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Isn't that them?
Not the Conversion Foundations. That a lot of those belong to Grantmakers in Health.
Like a Conversion Foundation, a nonprofit.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's what I thought that group was, but I'm probably wrong.
The NAPHI's institutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quasi-governmental or nonprofit organizations that states or locals create to get their business done or to do work that the governmental entity would have difficulty doing.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this. What you've got here is a nice list of areas that need to be or could be looked at, strategic objectives, to improve the likelihood and data of what you would be getting back from any sort of measures or call.
Go ahead, Matt.
Matt, then Mike, two M's.
Just one other thought on the value proposition is this idea of leveraging requirements. That's historically, I think that's where NQF's value propositions come from, is that NCQA values the NQF endorsement in its role to serve as a measure developer and a creditor and all of the rest of it. And the same thing can apply here, is sort of that's why the community health needs assessment came up, is the healthcare system is being told to do this. Sarah mentioned that the healthcare organizations are driven by CMS requirements. That's why we're doing health risk assessments for seniors, and that's why we do the HEDIS measures and all. So, and the Medicare Stars. So, really, I think sort of taking advantage of leveraging requirements.
Point. Thank you for adding those to the notes. Yes, Michael.
I just want to say that up at the top of this thing, it says that this is all assuming we're going to issue another call, and it strikes me that after we do all these things, we may decide that issuing a call is not the right way to proceed, but there is really a different way of working with this kind of community.
Good point. Yeah. Well said. We just, for purposes of getting this information, we said, let's assume that we're going to issue another call. What would we do differently? Lessons learned, knowing what we know, what would we do differently? So the decision has not necessarily been made to issue another call.
My point is that after doing all this work, which I think is the right thing to do, we may decide that issuing calls is the right way to identify measures to endorse.
Right.
That way of doing business may not be the right way in this new space.
Right. So perhaps another way to reframe this work is to say potential approach to entering, and I'm just kind of talking off the top of my head here, to entering into the measures of the
right.
Of the public
presuming NQF will eventually want to endorse population health measures, okay. What do we need to do to get to that point?
I think we probably just made too many assumptions that the pump was quite primed, and it clearly was not. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of lessons learned for us about being, before we actually did this again, being very clear with that there would, in fact, be measures available. But again, and it may not be totally ready yet, but if you think about it, if we're doing cardiovascular in 2013, which we will be in the early part of the year, there are some great opportunities to potentially bring in some population-level cardiovascular health metrics to that project. So I guess I'd also like this group to help us think through what would we do in a project like that to ensure that some of those really important measures come in at the community level. I mean, we looked at the ARC prevention quality indicators last year in the cardiovascular project about hypertension, CAD, issues like that of avoidable hospitalizations in cardiovascular. But maybe there are some other ones. Like I know Peter Briss is looking for a population level blood pressure screening measure for the Million Hearts campaign. It needs to be done. It needs to be brought in soon. That's something that obviously I think a cardiovascular committee could probably handle if we kind of get some smart folks like you guys potentially at that table. And I'd like to know what you think we need to do to make sure that could happen in a project like that. That HIV measure would have flown through our infectious disease project in 2 weeks, I can tell you that. No problem, would have gone right through. They would have been great, like the level of analysis of the community. This is perfect. This is really informative. No one would have blinked. So some thoughts for us.
Thank you.
So kind of in response to that, but also, you know, I think this is in response to what Paul said earlier about, you know, kind of how NQA or NCQA submitted the BMI measure, you know, the same old BMI measure. I'm just wondering if, you know, when we started last fall, we looked at the standard NQF criteria and then adapted it, you know, tweaked it a little bit for population health. And, I, you know, I wonder if we did a kind of a little bit of a disservice to ourselves by doing that, where what we could do is just, so for this cardiovascular call, you know, kind of make it clear that we're not, you know, we're looking for measures that are translatable at a larger population health level, and, you know, there's a box they check. This is for a specific subgroup, or this is for, or this is a, this could be a population health level measure. Something like that that got people to think they could choose population health? Okay.
Yeah, so our current submission forms clearly allows you to say clinician, health plan, whatever it is, and, you know, for all the behavioral health funds we just brought in on schizophrenia, they all just said state. So that's fine, which is why the committee was like, sure, these seem like great metrics to do. I'm not sure I'd feel comfortable with the risk adjustment at my clinical level, but at state Medicaid level, those seem great. So again, you know, that's already an option.
But I'm just wondering if it's clear enough that people understand how to translate that when they're submitting.
Could need some reemphasizing or clarity around it.
Mm-hmm. I haven't submitted a measure for years. So, mm-hmm.
So that is the second of the adapting the second of the strategies for use in existing work groups, because what we've discovered through this process is that the guidance and the definitions were not helpful enough. They were as good as we could make them at the time, but they weren't good enough. And so if you were going to go back into that blood pressure group, you would want to give that blood pressure group, both the working group and then the customer, the measure definers or suggesters, you'd have to give them a whole lot more orientation, right? And probably
that's 3 one-hour phone calls with them already. Yes,
yeah.
They're working on it.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Kurt.
So what do we learn from your experience with the disparities work group? And one action step you proposed possibly, Helen, is getting population and disparities groups together. Are you thinking of a similar cross-cutting strategy for the disparities and for population health to just make that part of all calls? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting question. I mean, much of the work I think we'll do in disparities going forward is, in fact, stratifying quality measures as opposed to new de novo measures. We brought in measures this time that were more cultural competency, access to language services, things like that. But I think at some point you don't have as many of those cross-cutting disparities measures, and you really do focus on the stratification of quality measures. So we are happy to take those measures in any project when they come in. Similarly, resource use. I'd rather not necessarily do another cost-specific project, but it's easy to see how you might bring in resource use-specific measures in a lot of these different areas going forward.
So do you think so that's kind of taking the measure at the current level and stratifying down? Is the population health taking the current measure and stratifying up to a clinical population level, but then also thinking about a geographic community level and a system level? I mean, is that one way to – would guidance stratifying down and stratifying up be helpful for the other efforts?
Or rolling up and rolling down, yeah.
Thinking about the call for cardiovascular measures is an extremely interesting potential opportunity. Some of us participated in the NPP group that developed these recommendations to CMS, and we came up with that three-part frame of interventions at the social, community, economic level, interventions at the behavioral level, and interventions at the clinical preventive services level. That, and by the way, that framework was in our call for measures too. It seemed it was ignored, but that would be really fascinating to apply to the call for cardiovascular measures, to have those three categories of, you know, the social, environmental, behavioral, and clinical preventive services. It might be a great opportunity to so it's to further the population health measures through the cardiovascular measures channel.
So if we did this right, every call for measures would include those three levels. And the other thing which we were unable to get, it got sort of rejected by the overall NPP, was we wanted to create, at least some of us wanted to create, a goodness and fairness measure so that you have to, this is the 2001 concept from World Health Organization, goodness is the overall performance at that population level. Fairness is the difference between the most healthy and least healthy group on that measure in a population. That was rejected as too new of a concept. We read different stuff, I guess. So, but I think ideally that would go into every measure to get at health equity. If you're going to put out a cardiovascular measure, you put in the goodness and the fairness. Okay, what's the rate of MIs among the population, and what's the gap between, I don't know if it's Caucasian, African American population, whatever the appropriate populations are.
And we do require that measures are for maintenance provide back that stratified data. So the cardiovascular committee reviewed every single measure stratified by race and ethnicity when the developers had access to it. So all those CMS core measures were produced stratified.
Excuse me one second. And goodness, fairness, because I want to make sure we capture this appropriately on those three different levels, which was behavioral, I believe, was first, and clinical, and what was the third?
Social and environmental was first, behavioral was second.
Yeah. Okay. But we just want to make sure that that's another area where we can, you know, it parlays into all other measures.
So just to answer Paul's question, so essentially the various cardiovascular measures, aspirin use, beta blockers, et cetera, for a measure that was up for maintenance, the developers had to submit the data showing, like you looked at yesterday, essentially NCQA stratified it for you by Medicare, Medicaid, commercial, and you could see those differences laid out for the NCQA measures yesterday. CMS has data to be able to, in fact, pull it out by race. So they were actually able to give the committee the differences by race and ethnicity. It was 80% for whites, it's 70% for Hispanics, and it was 50% for African Americans. And a couple measures we thought were otherwise topped out. In fact, when you dive deep, there are some populations who are still at risk. Right, mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
It has all kinds of interesting, I think, positive attributes. It makes the case much more clearly about the relevance of the upstream determinants. As opposed to talking in general about population health, we're talking about, you know, very specifically cardiovascular disease. And it may engage people in a different way, and especially if you called for measures in those three categories.
It's also why we got to get away from, you know, okay, renal disease, you know, was whatever specific test done on patients with renal disease by this doctor as the measure, and go to what is the incidence or prevalence of renal disease, and then break that out by racial and ethnic groups to demonstrate a huge difference with hypertension between African-American renal disease and Caucasian-American. But if all you're doing is measuring the did you prescribe an ACE inhibitor or whatever, you're never going to get at that gap in the population. So.
Well, Helen, what are you doing with multimorbidity?
It's a tough one. We actually just put out a framework just in the last few months. Actually, we should share it with this group. I think they did a nice job with it. Hopkins helped write a background paper for us on how to approach patients with multiple chronic conditions, and it was a lot of getting at some of these big picture issues and also just thinking differently about the sort of single-focused diseases and how you might look at that population more in terms of function and health rather than disease by disease.
Because that's a right population for what you're talking about.
What occurred to me, when that came up earlier, is the different, you know, the approach, the multiple chronic disease approach, the simplest way to do that is to say multiple chronic diseases, that means you have multiple chronic diseases, so we'll treat this person as three diseases. Well, does that actually create wellness in a person if you treat their three diseases? And the same thing happens here. If you look at a population, is it simply treating the rates or quality of diseases in that population, or is the health of a population something more than a collection of diseases? And that's where we start to get into that concept of well-being in the population health group. But I think that well-being is not diseases, and that's where we miss on all of these.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do
the multiple chronic conditions is a fertile, yes. Fertile ground for making that point. The reason we kind of resisted as a committee, I think, this idea of just doing this a disease at a time is exactly that concern, but this is a way you could normalize the population health focus with the disease focus, but then, multiple chronic conditions has an incredible amount of legs right now. So that would be a way of getting that broader whole person focus and then population community.
And unfortunately, population health was considered outside the scope of that work at HHS. It was clinical. And there was a paper put out, an initiative by HHS on multiple chronic diseases, and we got very early copies and tried to work with them, and they kept insisting, no, I'm sorry, population health and public health are outside the scope of this. This is clinical. And it was a huge missed opportunity.
I mean, I think that kind of thinking, that there's population health that's clinical that's separate, is a big problem. But you know, it's common and it runs all the way through these
things. Do we have that up here as this whole notion of providing clarity on definitions that we're using? Is that up here somewhere? Because I think that's another action item that would be important in soliciting or making any calls for measures.
The framework that I had, it was part of number two. It was refining guidance and definitions.
Okay, good. Yeah. You know, I'm going to do a time check right now. As it stands, we have, I think, we've done a good job of discussing what are some of the things that need to change or we could do better in sending out a call for measures, any call for measures, really. It's a fairly broad list. In terms of wrapping things up, what might be useful, we talked about, is looking at this list and putting together perhaps some chronology of what might need to be done. Some of these items may be able to be done together, but what you want to do at the end of the day is this group has the funding for a couple of more months, if I'm correct. Helen, I'm going to double check with you. So how do you want to use your time? How do you want to use that time? And it may be you can take some action against some of the things on this list. I'm going to double check.
Some of this is just in our current project, but I think a lot of what we've talked about is what would future initiatives be, both specific to this area as well as potentially thinking about how to build this into other projects going forward.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel any thoughts on how you want to use your time as a group over the next couple of months? What are your thoughts there? I'm going to kind of ask the steering committee for their thoughts as well. Okay, you're going to let Matt go first.
One idea maybe would be to review the compilation of measures and maybe start with a subset of measures, but to do the side-by-side kind of evaluation, not calling for measures, just reviewing the existing set of measures to see where the overlaps and discrepancies are. That could be a very useful contribution.
I wonder if, as part of that, if some of the measures had potential to be turned into population health measures, whether any feedback could go to those measure developers to say, have you thought about this?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Mm-hmm. This is Dawn. Can I make one comment in reference to the background paper?
Certainly.
Go ahead.
Okay. And this goes back to the low-hanging fruit question, or need to identify that. We didn't get a chance to talk about this a lot on our previous calls, but in December what I did is I took what I considered the 26 kind of go-to indicator sets from healthcare and public health, and I did go through and find the common low-hanging measures. And those are in tables 2 and 3, sort of by domain and then overall. And just by default, the committee comes up with a lot of them that are on there. I know that, Paul, you talk quite a bit about infant mortality and prenatal care. Tobacco obviously is on there and all of the behaviors that are kind of on the table. But in addition to those tables, which, that is a qualitative assessment, it was sort of with a research approach, and we can talk more about the methods if you want to going forward as to how I got those lists. But then on page 35 as well, and I don't know if you have the whole report there, we did a synthesis table where we took the low-hanging fruit, the measures that are very, very commonly measured from both clinical care system and then sort of these government indicator healthy people type reports, and put them next to a column that said who would then potentially lead interventions or health improvement activities for those measures. And so examples are like hospitalizations for cardiovascular disease, timeliness of diagnosis and treatment for cancer within the clinical care realm, exposure to secondhand smoke in the physical environment, just more a public health sort of, they take on interventions in that area as leaders. So I just want to say that some of that work has been done, and it might just be revisiting and talking more about the methods that led to those tables to really be comfortable with seeing that as some of the low-hanging fruit. And then the other second comment I would really like to make is we put a recommendation in our paper to use existing indicator sets. So a lot of what's being discussed today was part of the Federal Advisory Committee for Healthy People, was part of what IOM discussions that led to the SUSE indicator report. It was the same sort of partners that come to the table and talk about that. So I just would like to put out there is the leading health indicators, they have valid data sets. You know, it's been thought through before. So rather than recreating the wheel, I'm just wondering if there's a way to take from what already exists that has been put through a prioritization process.
Matt, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
I just think it's a great idea. I think there, as a starting point, I think there could be additional work to go to the next level of review, of reviewing the measure specifications. This is still just a kind of side-by-side, but the devil's in the details with these, but it would be a great place to start from, I agree.
So
for illustrative purposes, it might be helpful to take the three levels that came out of NPP and take the given measures and put them at the level they're at, which would clearly show us, you know, one of these diagrams, that there's very few at those higher levels. But just to point out, and then maybe take some of them and say, here would be the potential with this cardiovascular measure to go to these next two levels. That sounds like a great project for a person.
So let's write that down as our next step for a person. I think that's another option for a next step. I know we have until 2:30. What I'd like to end with is take that time to come up with ideas for what you think those next steps could and should be. Again, another way to say that is how this group might use the rest of its time as a group and make some suggestions, and we don't have to go until 2:30 if people don't, if we're all out of ideas, but we have up till that point to decide how you want to use your time for the next several months. So what else do we have to add to that list?
One suggestion might be, it might be interesting for us to share a couple of calls for measures that are going out shortly in other areas like infectious diseases and see if there's a way to sort of write that to make sure some of this flavor comes through. And we template those. We add the sort of clinical stuff in, but they're fairly template. It might just be an opportunity for us to think about how to take the influence of this group, sort of spread it more broadly.
That sounds like a good idea. I would add that to another future activity. Mm-hmm. So take the lessons learned here on other calls that are going out. Yes, Ron.
I'd like us to think a little bit more about how we can integrate the consensus, HHS consensus document, or the quality aims for public health into what it is that we're requesting measure developers to be thinking about and reporting on. I don't have a real clear idea in my mind, but I think those quality aims do line up fairly well with the healthcare quality aims. And you know, is there some way for us to think about their use in this process?
Okay. So another good, yeah, good next step. It just says quality aims integrated with requests for measures.
This year, other calls for measures also, as I understood, included perhaps development of template language around population health to be inserted into other measures, other
right.
calls for measures.
Right. Thank you. Good point. Right. Mm-hmm. What other ideas do you have for how this committee could use its time over the next couple of months?
I would like to hear from the health disparities work group. And compare notes with them because they must be having similar issues.
Okay.
Most of what affects health disparities is outside of the four walls. It's not just a matter of, you know, street to cath time for different populations.
Right. So hear from the health disparities work group. Good. What their challenges are, how they're approaching them. Okay. What else might you want to do with your time?
Is there a similar opportunity with the multiple chronic conditions group?
It's done.
Okay.
So with the multiple chronic conditions group, what do you think, Helen? Is there any? Would
the
there
committee's
be
done. They've okay. finished their work. Final product's done. We can share the work if you want to talk to the chairs or something. I should be happy to get that pulled together for you.
Okay.
What about other folks working in this area, like CMMI, hearing from them what they're struggling with? And there may be other. I mean, is NCQA looking at this area? Is IHI looking at this area? Anybody else working about looking at population health, and where are they stuck?
ARC is looking at it from their own, through their own lens. NIH is looking at it, you know, through their own lens.
NIH has done a very nice convening activity this last year on healthy behaviors that should be put into primary care practices routinely. If you saw that work, it was really nicely done.
So the action item there would be?
Well, you know, maybe for these, as I understand, and I understand very little about NQF structure, but the NPP sits within a partnership division of NQF, so maybe that would be a forum to maybe convene, if we get funding for them to convene these different stakeholders for a day and spend a day of that group on population health measures. We could report out, and, you know, and these other groups could report out, and then there are a lot of mostly healthcare people there, but a lot of different mm-hmm. organizations that could discuss this with.
So convene, right, convene those two groups and maybe have some information sharing, you know, report outs might be something that you could do.
Mm-hmm. Report back to the NPP, since the right. first work at NQF, I think, was done there, about, okay, here's what we ran into so you can be aware of what's going on in this area and then if the MAP process is doing something.
And we all work very collaboratively, something we could do with NPP, with Karen and Wendy.
Yeah. Well, I see this as something you could call, you probably do this with all of your working groups, but, you know, a lessons learned after you've completed, you know, your task that then you share with other work groups, regardless of what their topic was, because there may be a lot of overlap. So maybe it's formalizing a lessons learned session.
I also wonder if we need a different mechanism than the work group or the committee here. And one of the ideas from the morning was doing this environmental scan. You've already done a little bit of an internal scan, but not just to do that to get something you can put in a white paper and plop in front of a group, but doing that as an interactive field relationship building process. And if that's something that you'd have to configure more sexily but and non-fractally, but if that's something you could actually get funding to do. I mean, how do you make population health measurement part of what NQF does on multiple levels? How do you bring together these strange bedfellows that actually have some common needs that they don't have a forum for talking with? You could just, if you just thought about a roving bee going out gathering information, but that's asking the right questions and saying you should talk to this group, and then some, the idea that something would emerge from that.
Should we ask Dawn if she did that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Dawn, if you're still there, Did you do a project, because somebody did a project, and I thought it was RAND, on reaching out to different stakeholders about population health measures to try to describe what was out there? Are you aware of that, or was that you that did that?
Oh, no. That was not me.
Thanks.
I mean, I think Nikki Lori did that before she left.
Yeah, so there's that opportunity to put together an environmental scan and gather those folks together. Anything else that you can think of you want to put down as options for how you use the rest of your time together? I feel like Carol Burnett. I'm so glad we had this time together. How do you want to use the rest of it? Not that this isn't a good list already.
Well, what do we do with this list?
Well, I think the point of creating it is to give the steering committee and the board an opportunity to decide, okay, you know, let's prioritize, let's see what we have the funding for.
It's been a really rich discussion. I personally have taken, 22 pages of notes. So I sort of feel like it's something we need to process, go through all this, see if we can coordinate it a bit. I tend to think while I type, so if I type it, I learn it and think about it. So I think we need to process it, think it, bring back some options to you, talk with HHS, see what options are moving forward. I think there were some great suggestions today of things I think I'd like to move on, at least, that I think are some really potential things that I think no one would argue are logically things where NQF could add value.
What's the timing for the call for cardiovascular measures?
I don't even know yet. 2013, so it's months and months. It's a fair amount away. Infectious disease was just put forward. GIGU is going out shortly. Most of the other clinical projects will start in the fall.
Because I don't know if it's listed up there, but one of the things we could do is to kind of create the language for the population health view of all of the upcoming calls for measures.
Okay, good. So what you have done today is, as Helen, you said, have a very rich discussion regarding what are some of the reasons that the response was lower than you would like for the call for measures. But more broadly, what are some future steps, actions that could be taken to further this discussion around standards and measures in the population or public sector? And what might NQF's role be and should or could be in that? You also took a look at what some of the measures should be, some further discussion around that and what the parameters are. And it was almost like you needed to have that thorough discussion yesterday and today and get all the ideas and perspectives out, which I think enabled you then to have more of a concrete conversation, that fishbone exercise around what are some we ended up with four specific strategies to not just improve or what would we do differently for any future measures call, but for any call for measures that NQF would put together. And against those five strategic areas, we delved into a little more detail against kind of that environmental scan of who's in the environment that we might want to consider as partners. You also delved into a little more detail around NQF value propositions and how to phrase that for your current constituents as well as some new constituents that you're looking at taking on. And then finally, you came up with a list of potential next steps or action steps that this group could take in the time that it has left together. Now, so I think that's a pretty good job. I applaud all of you. next steps, as Helen said, was to kind of digest all of that information and decide where you want to go with it, particularly those potential next steps for this group. One thing you will be receiving is a list of this future activities as well as the five key strategic areas. You'll receive a copy of that. I think you you'll receive a copy of the minutes or the notes as well. Is that right? Okay. All right. With that, I am going to ask Alisa if where you want to go with the program as far as the agenda for the rest of the day. We've worked pretty hard so far.
We have, and I know we have a hard stop at 3 because folks are trying to get out and take flight. So the next agenda item that we have was to revisit the recommendations from the commission paper, and I will put Amir on the spot because he is a committee member. I did warn you, though, that I was going to put you on the spot. And he was a committee member that suggested that we place this on the agenda, and if there's no, if you don't have a pressing need, to revisit.
These recommendations were, some of them were very good, but I felt like maybe this is an opportunity for NQF to adopt some of them. If you feel like, if you feel like that some of them are important, especially, I think Kurt was talking about this as well, and I mentioned it a little bit, that how we're measuring this population health and total population health, and I haven't looked at these recommendations for a while, but there was a recommendation in there about systems, or as well as how to look at the total population health. I wish I had, I don't know which one I'm talking about, but it's essentially conceptually, I do think that we should look at these. There's some recommendations that may actually be missing from this, which I think could have been part of it. But I don't know how the group feels about them. And then, of course, if we do decide to adopt, some of these recommendations may need to be rephrased because they are not really, I don't know how to even interpret some of them. So that's essentially what my point was. And I'll quickly look at if there was a specific one I was. Okay, so number 2 and number 3. So that was the one. Since the determinants of health are conceptually envisioned at the total population level, it is recommended that a measurement framework define the determinants of health at the total population level as well. The current categorization, clinical care, behavior, social environment, physical environment, should be used by all organizations interested in improving total population health. And that was sort of a concept that I was talking about this morning as well, that you know, that the performance measures are at a lot of different levels, structure, process, outcomes, blah, blah, blah. And I think we really need to start looking at all of them together rather than separate, because I still feel like that's what the folks out there are doing. And just because you're going to improve process is not going to lead to the improvement of total population health. That's it. Sorry, guys, I have to leave. And thank you so much to see you all.
Or it may be an exercise if people would like, we could just share those recommendations broadly and ask people to submit comments as to whether there are ones that people think should be specifically adopted as sort of more oomph than just being in a commission paper.
Because my fear is that just this paper is otherwise it's going to get lost. It's not an NQF, it's an NQF commission paper. But if NQF adopts some of the recommendations, it's going to carry much more weight than just.
So when we will be putting out a phase 2 report, of course, with the measures that you reviewed this round. So we will have the opportunity to include anything you'd like in there about the process, what we've learned. I mean, I think it'd be nice to actually share some of the discussion from today potentially as well. And then, you know, if you think there are some of these we'd like to include there as well, we can put that out for comment.
Helen, do committees ever submit recommendations to the board, requesting that the board adopt them?
Yeah, so frequently steering committees will make a series of recommendations about a given topical area, what should happen moving forward, and those will move forward and CSAC usually discusses them first, and then if it's something that has policy implications, it'll go to the board.
Is the commission paper a public document? Is it available to be distributed broadly in some, you know, to our own constituencies and to others?
I'm going to defer to Elisa on that one. That's okay. Well, what's the status of the public availability of the final commission paper?
Actually, it's done. We should be posting it Monday, probably. So we have the final product.
Could you email us all
yes,
a copy?
Yes, we will. And, we will email
and,
it.
And so then at that point, we're free to share it and encourage people to read it. And,
yes.
Okay.
Anything else we should discuss?
Just one thing. We just wanted to give an opportunity to our members and the public to provide comment, which we're sorry we didn't do before. Anika?
At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. At this time, there are no questions.
So may I thank the co-chairs? Talk about thankless work. Done with fine spirit. Thank you very much. Thank you to staff as well. Yeah.
And just a few last-minute items before we leave. We're going to follow up. Staff is going to follow up with developers, and that would be legacy. I just wanted to remind everyone that the steering committee recommended four measures for endorsement. So those will go through the consensus development process. And we will follow up with legacy, work with Ron to make sure that we can get some responses to the concerns that you had, and we'll make sure that we get back to you with that. As Helen mentioned, we're going to be drafting the technical report for phase two, and we hope to post that report for our member and public comment on June 21st, and that will be a 30-day comment period. And before we do that, we'll make sure that you see the report so that you have a few days to give us feedback. And then we hope to have a conference call to adjudicate the comments during the week of July 30th. We'll confirm that. We'll send out SurveyMonkey with probably three tentative dates and ask you to select from that. And the report will include your recommendations and the discussion that you had yesterday and today, the evaluation ratings and the measures that you didn't recommend with the rationale, and the measure specifications for all the measures. So. We just wanted to thank you as staff and the co-chairs as well. This has been a great meeting for us, and we really appreciate the time that you've taken to be with us. Thank you very much.
Well, and thank you, Elisa and Kristen, and of course, Helen, for all the work you put into this. I don't think we were always an easy group to handle, but you got us here. So.
Thank you to Lorraine, if she's still there.